Good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. Derek Piper will be here momentarily. Kyle Tosk here as well. Kyle, I didn't do this on purpose, but let's start talking about the Cubs. How have they been doing?
Yeah, you asked me right before we went on. Cubs win last night? I said, no, they've been shut out both games. You're like, oh, let's talk some Cubs. I see how it is.
That's terrible, Lante.
I see how it is.
Cardinals have won three straight. It's just bad baseball. Last night I was watching.
Don't let them get hot.
I know. Hey, and by the way, we got some good news about Coleman Hawkins from his NBA combine today. But I was watching the game last night with the Cardinals and Angels, and both teams were just like not even plays that cost.
I saw the eighth inning where the Angels had the bases loaded and they tried a suicide squeeze couldn't get it down, and then their manager
Ron Washington
was
just
not
went
happy
off.
About
yeah, he
it.
Just he said, "Well, it's his fault. He can't punt. He didn't get it down. It's not my bad." But both teams, like even like on cutoff throws in that like the runner didn't advance, they would drop the ball. And I was just watching it going, this is just terrible baseball. And of course, our buddy Chris Detmer's son Reed started that game, and the Cardinals got a few breaks in that one. They've now won three in a row, so look out, Cubs. Here come the Cardinals. Coleman Hawkins, though, is the story of the day. Oh, Pipes wore his Cardinals hat.
2 days in a row.
Do you know
keep the streak alive.
You know what's funny? I wore mine last night, and I was like, they have won two in a row, so I technically I don't feel disturbed wearing it. So today, today this might be the time to do it, right? Three in a row?
Possibly,
I mean,
yeah.
Why not, you know? So, yeah, we'll have to figure that out. But
Lance Lynn's going tonight. What could go wrong?
Yeah, right. Exactly. A couple home runs, and I don't even know half the Angels team. Well, half. Who am I saying? I don't know 95% of the Angels.
It's crazy. They wore some pretty cool uniforms last night.
Those
I appreciated
were cool.
Those, but especially with no Trout in the lineup.
Yeah.
He's out with another injury. Guy just can't stay healthy.
No.
But outside of that, they'd pretty depressing, the state of affairs for the Angels.
No
doubt. They had Trout and Ohtani and thought about the potential there. And, man, even just if you look at Trout's career, the fact that they haven't even won a postseason series with them, that's crazy.
Has there been a team in professional sports that's had more stars that hasn't won anything? I mean, they had Albert Pujols.
That's true.
They had Mike Trout.
I
mean, Shohei Ohtani. Now, obviously, they have won a World Series in the past, but in the recent decade of just being able to say that you've got arguably one of the top 10 players ever to play the game in Albert Pujols, you've got Mike Trout, who could arguably be one of the top 10 players to ever play the game, and then Shohei Ohtani, who, when it's said and done, could be one of the top 10 players to ever play the game, and yet you have nothing to show for it. So
that's hard to... That's hard to come to grips with and try to compare it. But, yeah, I mean, I think Trout here recently has probably fallen off a little bit of, I know his pace over his first maybe 8 to 10 years. I don't know how many years he's been in the league, but this is a guy that's like getting compared to like Mickey Mantle and those type of guys through his first chunk of his career. But,
yeah
it's hard to believe. They did not do a good job of, especially pitching-wise, when they had Ohtani other than him and Trout and Pujols, of course, they didn't get near the return on investment of what they would have expected, but that's too bad for them.
Let me bring Kyle in, because here's something that really bothers me, is that we play in the NL Central, which is essentially like playing in minor league baseball, I feel like. So what
happens...
How
about the Big Ten West? Let's do that.
Okay, that's better. Playing in the Big Ten West. Actually, that's a perfect analogy for what I'm about to say. When these teams that are halfway decent in the Central, be it the Cubs this season, when they venture out and go up against the big boys, now granted the Cubs had a good series against the Dodgers, winning 2 of 3 earlier this season. So I have to say that before we move on. But here we go against Atlanta, and it's almost as though, okay, you're good, Chicago, and you're going to keep these close, but you're just not as good as Atlanta. And the Braves are going to end up winning the series, and they may sweep you. And it just drives me nuts that the NL Central's not always been like this, but it just seems like there is another level. Well, it doesn't seem like, Derek. There is,
there is,
and Kyle.
Yeah,
another level of baseball outside of what we know as the National League Central, and I'm not breaking any ground with that statement, but it is kind of frustrating in the sense that you would hope, like, and again, the Cubs have lost, what, 2-0 and...
7-0.
Oh, 7. Okay, so that wasn't pretty. But that 2-0 game, I mean, that was a battle. But it's just one of those where you look at it and you're like, the Cubs' offense has been pretty good all season, and now they can't even score a run against Atlanta. And you just look at it and you think, all right, that's just kind of utter domination. And this is not a rip on the Cubs because the Cardinals wouldn't even be in a conversation. I wouldn't even bring this up if it was the Cardinals and Braves because the Cardinals aren't one of the better teams in the Central. So isn't it just a little frustrating when you know you're, all right, we're playing Ohio State or Michigan, and it's just a whole nother ballgame?
It is, yeah. It certainly is. Now, I would say, of course, there's a gap between what the Cubs have been this year and what the Cardinals have been.
No, there's no
doubt. One of the worst teams in the National League. And as I pull up the standings here, the Cardinals, even though they've won 3 in a row, still 7.5 back of the Brewers, and the Cubs aren't too far removed from that top echelon, only 2 games behind despite losing the last two. But, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you look around, like the Phillies 30-13, the Braves 26-13. If you're in that division, you don't even go into the year thinking you have a chance, let alone you start actually getting to the meat of the schedule. The Dodgers have been at a different echelon than a lot of the National League, not to take away the pressure of the Central, but also like the D-backs last year. There's just a different level out there than what you're seeing in the NL Central. Look, like a division on the other side of it, like the AL East, how loaded they are. Baltimore, the Yankees, the Red Sox have actually been decent this year. The Rays, who we always anticipate to be in the mix for like a 90-win season, they're a game below 500. If the Cardinals are in that division, or even if the Cubs are in that division, you're probably thinking a lot differently about their potential to make the playoffs.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, it is a little frustrating. I do appreciate – I am conflicted about the idea. We've talked about it, not to rehash – and I know Greg is mad that we're not talking Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, I know. But, we're getting there. I wanted to get Derek here before we started.
Yeah, my bad.
And since you were a little late, it's nothing.
The railroad is still
fault.
Alive and well in America, so that's great. That's great news.
It's not your fault, so I wanted to just kind of get this thought out of the way, and then we'll chat Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, I think that it's frustrating for sure, and that's something that even in postseason success we haven't seen here recently.
Right.
I've been on my soapbox about the Cardinals not going anywhere in the postseason. It's been a while since the Cubs have done anything. Even the Brewers, they have had their regular season success. And we probably need to start looking at the Brewers more, which they are. Like, they deserve credit for being like this small market team.
Agreed.
They're down in payroll. I mean, they're in the 20s in MLB in payroll, and they're 9 games over 500 and doing what they're doing. So it just almost seems like, in terms of also spending and competitiveness, in terms of getting top talent, that's another thing that's different. And one thing that really stands out before I throw it back to you and we can move on.
We're not moving on. I have one other thought.
The Cardinals against teams 500 or better this year, 3-11.
Oh, boy.
So that's still something that needs to change if they want to be any kind of relevant going forward. The Cubs 8-9, so that's not bad. The Brewers 8-9, so.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's the NL Central against, and there's other, like the NL Central's, I mean, the AL Central's nothing to speak about it either, so. One
the Twins have gotten hot recently.
Have they? Yeah, they have.
The Guardians have been good.
That's right.
The other one is like, why are they good? Do they spend any money? Do they have anybody outside of Jose Ramirez and Shane Bieber?
I know, it's weird. All right, this is my last thing. Did you hear Bill DeWitt Jr.? Is that who it was, Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
He was on a interview with Martin Kilcoyne, who's been a longtime sports broadcaster, TV in the St. Louis area. And he said something about Cardinals fans wanting to boycott games to send a message to the front office that they aren't getting the job done. There's two things to look at here. There's one thing that says getting the job done. Derek, there's the other that says you're not spending the money. And he laughed through the answer, saying, I get a kick out of that, because do fans realize that we take all of that they spend and use that for payroll? So if you're going to boycott games and not come, then essentially you're hurting us being able to spend more money down the road. Now, I see your look, but I'm actually going to stick up for the Cardinals for a second. Do you know where the Cardinals are in payroll in baseball?
It's like 10th.
Yeah, they're 10th, 11th, or 12th, right in there. Like, I can't remember exactly. That's not bad, Derek. And to me, that does not tell me that you have a franchise that does not spend money. Now, here's the one rub.
Sorry, they're actually 13th.
13th. Here's the one rub when it comes to a franchise like St. Louis. If you're going to spend a boatload of money on guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, essentially spend the bulk of your money on those two guys, then you are going to be perceived with the rest of your roster as not spending much money. The point is, though, you have to look at the payroll at the end of the day and say, where do we fall? The Cubs are in the top 10 in payroll. The Cardinals are right outside of it at 13. How many teams are in Major League Baseball? 32? 30. There's 30. So they're in the top half, if not the top third, of essentially spending money in baseball. And so to me, my rub with the front office is not spending money. It's the way the front office has developed and the way that they've decided on who they're keeping and who they're not keeping. That's well documented. But are we to say that when Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado were signed, there isn't one Cardinals fan that was on a mountaintop saying, that's pathetic, that's going to end up costing us in the end. And if you said you were, I won't believe you that you were. So it kind of aggravated me a little bit in the sense, if you want to dog the front office for every other thing, that's fine. Don't dog the Cardinals front office for money spent. In my mind, they are a top 13 payroll and still a fairly small market. Their TV deal is nowhere near what some of these big market TV deals are. It's simple. It's as simple as that. Now, do the DeWitts have plenty of money? Could they spend more money? Could they be top five in baseball and payroll and the DeWitts would still have good Christmases? Yes, that is the case. They own Ballpark Village. That has been an absolute success. They own everything around that. The DeWitts are not running out of money anytime soon. So if you want to go out at that angle and say, well, yeah, but they're making all this money at Ballpark Village and all of this, and they're not spending it. Well, technically, they are spending money. The problem is two guys are making the bulk of your money, and those two guys have sucked pretty much all year. Now, Nolan Arenado has been decent, but he has no power, and you need power out of Nolan Arenado. I'm sorry. I didn't go out and spend $30 million on Nolan Arenado so that he could hit single after single in this lineup. And Paul Goldschmidt, who got you an MVP 2 years ago, and Arenado was third, Paul Goldschmidt has been one of the worst hitters in baseball all season in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. So I'm done with my rant. We can talk Coleman Hawkins. I'd like your thoughts.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're aiming your anger at the front office, and it's because Mozeliak is making every poor choice, and I do agree with that, then that is warranted. If you're aiming your disdain at the Cardinals front office and the Cardinals organization in general because they're not spending money, you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that...
Where the hell did that come from?
On the discussion of what's wrong with the Cardinals, them being cheap isn't at the top of the list.
I hear it all the time.
And probably isn't necessarily close to number one. I think it is the decision makers are making the wrong decisions, correct, in my opinion. So
that is a number one.
If you're looking at the Cardinals, the top earners on their team, of course, like you said, Goldschmidt and Arenado combined this current season are making $50 million between them. So that's essentially like almost a third of your payroll right there. Next in line, Miles Michaelis is getting $18 million this year.
And Poor decision.
He's awful. After that, you've got Wilson Contreras at 18. I'm fine with that. Obviously, prior to injury, he was your best player.
Yep.
Steven Matz, $12.5 million. He's been a terrible signing.
Poor decision.
Beyond that, you've got Kyle Gibson at 12.
Decent.
You've got Lance Lynn at 10.
Decent.
And so I think that when you look at Miles in particular, extending him before you had to, and Steven Matz, not to go too far down the rabbit hole talking about all the different decisions, they've made bad choices on who to give the money to. They haven't developed players like they traditionally have. Those are things that are at the top, tip top of the list for me.
Amen.
I do sit there and wonder why are the Cubs $50 million over the Cardinals this year in spending? I think that's something where I get frustrated by. because the Cardinals really for the last 20 years, even including last year, where we saw the worst season for the Cardinals since the early 90s, right?
Right.
They were still fourth in baseball in attendance.
Yeah.
And over the last 20 years, they've been regularly in the top three, if not, I think, usually number two. The Dodgers, a lot of times, number one. So for them to say that they don't have the money to spend, I wouldn't believe that for a second. Okay. I think they could spend more, but I do think it's more about kind of like either complacency or just not willing to look outside and realize, like, hey, doing the same thing over and over again isn't working. Letting Mozeliak continue to be the guy to make these decisions
called insanity.
Isn't working. Hiring managers within the organization that are unproven or something like that isn't working, or just running Ollie Marmol back isn't working. So
no, that's fair.
I think they're stubborn. I think they're a franchise that I'm extremely frustrated with, but I don't think that being cheap is the number one thing, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fair, because I see it on Twitter nonstop. Now, I shouldn't probably go down that rabbit hole, but a lot of times I just see the casual fan immediately say, well, tell the front office to spend money. And it's like, well, hold on a second. I don't know that I want them to spend money, because they'll do it wrong.
If it was the difference of them like making a real run at Jordan Montgomery, even though they quote-unquote had five starters, like last year when Mozeliak says, well, we got six starting pitcher candidates. How many are good? Like those are the things. If you want to rope money into that conversation, then I'm with you on it. But I think it's also just maybe misevaluating what you have, or doubling down on decisions that haven't panned out how you hoped, and be like, oh, well, another year, Matt Carpenter won't hit 180. Oh, wait, he hit 175 this year. Dang.
Hell, he's been our best hitter.
I told you he wouldn't hit 180 again.
He's like the only guy in the lineup I've got confidence in terms of making hard contact right now, which is scary. You're right, though, about Jordan Montgomery. That's a perfect example of where you could have a little bit of beef, because it's like, you know what you're getting with him. You know what you got. You know what you had with him. So spend a little money and get him.
Yep.
But they wouldn't do it. So, all right. I don't know where that came from. I apologize. I saw that, and it's kind of, look, I'm like, here I am. I'm like on the hill, and I'm telling the rest of my troops, just run, right? Just go. I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to ward them off as long as I can so that you guys survive. I am, despite just absolutely getting frustrated by the Cardinals on a daily basis, I'm still in the ballpark of they could somehow make a run in this division, as bad as it is, or as, I shouldn't say bad.
Mediocre.
As mediocre as it is. I think the Cardinals could still do it, but, I mean, that time's probably going to run out soon. Yeah. I mean, you're only, what, May 15?
It's May 15.
So, who knows? Have they announced any cool Bears games? Because I know they're leaking out stuff as we go.
I thought the schedule, maybe I misread it. I thought the schedule was supposed to come out today.
It's tonight.
It's tonight,
yeah,
okay.
It's like 5 o'clock. Or
the leaks have been out there. I don't know, it's an unverified source in terms of Twitter. Like Aaron Lemming was retweeting, I forget who it was, but the Bears and Texans are rumored to be week 2 Sunday Night Football Houston. That could be pretty cool.
That would be cool. That'd be fun. Stroud against Caleb.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how we do that immediately? We go right to the quarterbacks, which makes sense.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense.
That's the headline right there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see some of the I know every year I always tell Andrew, I'm like, where are we going? And last season we didn't go to a game because the Cardinals were so bad. 2 years ago went to Tennessee, to Nashville. So I'm like, our choices this year are Washington, I believe. I think they go to Arizona. Miami, Kyle. That would be fun. The Bears are in Arizona. I say we fly out, we do the show there a couple of days, and we go to the game.
Sounds great to me, yeah.
I am in on that. If you're in,
I'm in.
And Kyle can sit his butt right here and run the board.
You don't get to come, Kyle. Dang.
But in Miami, when the Cardinals play
down
there.
If you guys want to go to Miami, I'll stay
here
and run the board.
Yeah. Run the board. And then if the Dolphins and Bears ever play, I'll sit and run the board. How about that?
Okay. I probably need the Super Bowl for that one.
Yeah, well
are they on the schedule this year? I don't remember who the divisions are.
No, I was
the Patriots.
I went to Chicago a year ago for Dolphins Bears, so it's going to be a few more years before.
Yeah, see, we get the NFC North, so we're playing all of you guys, and then I think we get your division, We get the Patriots and the Dolphins and the Bills. What is that? The AFC East.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's what it is. All right, should
the Tom Brady division. Did you guys see the Tom Brady roast?
Oh, I've seen like the first.
It was 3 hours
minutes.
I've only seen a couple clips of it.
I'm through the blonde girl.
Yeah.
The comedian.
Oh, she was good,
who
man.
Had to have been the best.
Wow, she was.
Holy cow.
Haley and I, our kids went to bed early one night recently, and we sat down and watched the whole thing. We didn't plan on watching the full 3 hours, but we did.
Wow.
And she was the best.
You have easily. To go into that understanding that, like any roast, the language
ooh.
And some of the things
said. Some of the content, yeah, is...
You've just got to understand
it's
going
edgy.
Into it. Right.
It's edgy, for sure.
Political.
That's one way to say
I mean,
it.
Yeah. It is, yeah, but no. I'm going to watch the end of it, yeah, one of these days. But
her joke about Gronk and the crypto thing was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. What's her name?
Oh, what is
Amy
that?
Something?
Yeah.
No, it's not Schumer. I had never heard of I felt like I'd seen her before, but man, she came out and stole the show. If there's others that are better.
Nikki Glaser.
Oh, Nikki. Okay.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser.
Not even close. Yeah. Amy and Nikki are not even close. But no, I did
see
it.
There was some prize. I don't know what was reported previously in terms of who was supposed to be there, but there was some appearances that were pretty cool. I don't want to know if I should spoil it.
Yeah,
or
don't
not,
spoil but, it because okay, I'm only like 40 minutes in.
Yeah, I won't.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I'm going to finish that one of these days. I'm going to finish it. That like the roasts are one of those things. Like that thing being 3 hours, I can take like 30 minutes, and then I want to watch something with substance. But I like anything that makes me laugh. And that is certainly
pretty funny.
Me laugh. Anytime Jeff Ross is near a microphone, I'm laughing. That dude could roast me and only have a day to prepare, and it would be the funniest thing you would ever hear in your life. He was put on this earth as the master of the roast, and that's how he's announced now.
Exactly,
I mean, he brought him out first and said, he is the best. There's nobody better. He is the goat of the roast. What's his name?
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross. And he's so goofy looking that everybody just loves. What'd she say? She goes, Jeff Ross, congrats on your weight loss. She's like, most people, when you tell them that, you say you look great, but you're still the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. And of course, he just sits there and laughs, you know. Oh, I love it, man.
They're good sports about it.
They are.
I will say, like, Julian Edelman comes in hot, and he's definitely one to watch for sure.
He starts dogging Belichick, doesn't he? I heard a clip he's dogging.
Yeah, there are a lot of clips out there that I'm sure people are familiar with. But
that was the
best. It's good if you got the time to watch it, which I usually never. Anytime that Lon brings up, hey, have you seen this? I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have the time.
Look at that. Derek watched something I didn't.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But listen, you're a little bit busy. You're a little bit
busy.
I didn't have Netflix on my side when I had a baby to rock to sleep.
Right.
It's like, oh, boy. Well, we should talk Coleman.
We will. I think we may have lost, what's his name, Greg on the text line. But, you know, come back, Greg. We got a full show and a lot of time to talk about Coleman Hawkins' performance at the NBA Combine scrimmage today.
Better news, I'm not going to be here the next hour. So for those that appreciate
actual
sports talk.
I had another thought in my head that I want you involved on.
Uh-oh.
Because I watched some of the Knicks and Pacers last night. Now, that ended up being a blowout.
Yes.
I know the Nuggets ended up blowing out the T-Wolves also as well. Jokic went crazy.
Nuggets have been so good these last three games.
Last three games, yeah. People thought they might be dead, which I don't know how many people were like legit throwing dirt on the graves of the defending champs, but Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves were the talk of the league at that point. But with the Knicks and what Jalen Brunson's doing, went for 40 again, his fifth time with 40-plus points in the postseason so far, including he had earlier when you include the end of the Sixers series, end of the Pacers series, had four straight games of 40 points or more. It had me thinking, where does Jalen Brunson's recruitment and potentially landing in Illinois land on the what-if list for Illinois basketball? I wanted to include you in that conversation because that John Gross era could have been a lot different if you would have gotten the point guard instead of, obviously, we know the names of the point guards. Maybe you've forgotten now that Brad Underwood's refreshed your mind of what John Gross had then. So I think I kind of want to do that before you get out of here.
I like that. We could come back, talk Coleman, and then get into that.
All right.
Because there was another guy that I thought of immediately, not point guard, that we thought was coming to Illinois. Mm-hmm. There are, and you know our listeners are going to fire out a stream of these guys. Well, actually, I just thought of a guard, too.
All right. Let's do that.
Yeah, so I like this.
We'll talk Coleman Hawkins, his performance today, what it means. He did get a chance to maybe later in the show when after you exit, Kyle, and I can play some of his interview with ESPN today after he put up 17 points in the NBA draft combine. We'll fill you in more on that, and then we'll talk where does Jalen Brunson rank on the what-ifs for Illini basketball and who else is on that list. Hit us up, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini League text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Dedicated Diesel and Dixie Chopper and drivers and stuff. You guys got any needs? You got anything to share?
Well, for drivers, right now there are a lot of trucking companies that are either shutting down or laying off drivers. Oh, wow. We are not doing that. We have freight coming out our ears, and we have a couple of openings for regional and over-the-road van and flatbed drivers. They're home every weekend. We've got a family environment. You know, we think about family as well as the work. So we're looking for a couple of drivers to bring on for that.
Awesome.
So what is the location and website?
That is 1306 Triumph Drive in Urbana. It's right down from Farm and Fleet on 45.
Yep.
And you can call Andy at 217-328-0562 or check out Dedicated Diesel on Facebook.
This is Joy Sheehan. In 2016, my husband Rob and I lost our son Christian in a house fire. Since that date, my family and I, along with the Champaign Fire Department, have been on a mission to save lives by purchasing and installing working smoke alarms in the Champaign area. We need volunteers to help us install smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors. On Saturday, May 18th at 8 a.m., we will meet at Douglas Community Center. For more information or to volunteer, please search for annual Christian Sheehan Smoke Alarm Blitz on Facebook.
Does your bank keep rewards just out of reach? Hi, this is Ryan Heiser, President and CEO of Fisher National Bank. While some banks save their reward programs for a select few, here at Fisher National, we offer free rewards checking to all of our customers. We are trying to reward you for the things you do every day. Simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive a statement electronically, and have at least one direct deposit in a monthly cycle. It's as easy as that. Rewards checking includes excellent 2.0 annual percentage yield for balances up to $20,000 and ATM refunds up to $20. Oh, and no minimum balances required. Free rewards checking from Fisher National Bank. Rewards within reach and service beyond. See monthly requirements at fishernational.com or stop by one of our branches today. Our team looks forward to serving you.
Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow! Big Bad Guy, Appliance World. When you buy from
us, get the whole store. Illini fans, join us in Memorial Stadium as we honor 100 years of tradition with $100 football season tickets. Don't miss a moment this season and lock in your tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against the University of Michigan. Experience more cherished moments in Memorial Stadium this season and get your $100 season tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio, welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on KramerSiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk about Coleman Hawkins and what he did today up in Chicago, the NBA Draft Combine. He was the player of the game in the scrimmage today, interviewed by ESPN, which we'll play here momentarily.
So but awesome.
Look at the stat line. 17 points, 6 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from deep.
Wow.
5 rebounds, 3 assists.
Just doing it, doing everything.
Yep.
That's what we remember, right? Or that's what we remember like he played 20 years ago. That's what he did here in terms of the last couple of seasons where he could fill a stat sheet and maybe not be the most dominant scorer, maybe not be the most dominant rebounder, but he would definitely do a little bit of everything that you can promise. I can promise you that a coach absolutely loves. And for him to show out after he just graded so poorly, right? On the
his athletic testing was not impressive.
It was one of the bottom three, I think, at the combine. It was him and then my boy Peyton Sanford. And then, you know, the last dude was the guy from UConn that played at Rutgers.
Oh, Cam Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, we wonder why the Big Ten hadn't won a national title in a few years, although Spencer went on to win one with UConn, but they could have put me out there and I think probably still won it. But yeah, I'm happy for Coleman to be able to say, all right, I didn't grade out well, but you know what? That's what I'm not here for. I'm not exactly the most perfect when it comes to that kind of stuff. Watch me play and watch me show you how I can help a team.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's not the run and jump athleticism. It's nothing crazy in terms of quick twitch laterally or anything, even though I think it's a credit to him, the fact that his lane agility, which is one of the testing measurables they use for lateral quickness, he's towards the bottom, and that's statistic as well. Last year he was only above Oscar Tshiebwe and Ryan Kalkbrenner, center for Creighton, center for UConn, obviously, in the lane agility drill. So the fact that he can stay on Tyson Walker and Boo Booey, I think it says a lot about his anticipation, activity, how hard he plays on defense, the way that he can read kind of what players are going to do, and just kind of his IQ and smarts too. Not to say that he couldn't guard me or you athletic, right? Like if we went up against him, we'd think he'd be a pretty good athlete. I'm not saying he's an awful athlete or anything, but by NBA standards, that's not what has him there. It's because of his skill set and obviously what he can do as far as different things for that size. So shooting the ball was a big difference, even though in the shooting drills, which Kyle and I dogged on a bunch yesterday with the wide open shooting and everybody's kind of just over analyzing the numbers. Oh, if you shot, you know, Bronny shot 19 of 25. Maybe he'll shoot 40% from three in the NBA, even though he averaged 5 points a game at USC. But this, in all seriousness, Coleman's like in the drills shooting wasn't really any better this year than last year. Obviously, we know the season statistics going from 28% up to 37%, but he didn't shoot the three well in the scrimmages last year. To come out and bury threes today, I think I'm sure that impressed scouts and showed that he's worked a lot on his shot. And yeah, to have a big man or a skilled forward with size be able to dish out a couple assists and share the ball and kind of be that connective piece offensively, in addition, you know, to being somebody that can shoot it, people like that. They're definitely going to want to see that. So we're not going to know probably until maybe the next versions of the mock drafts come out after some of these guys like Gavoni and Bassini check back in with their connections across the league and see if the needle moved a whole lot in terms of people's thoughts on him. But I'm sure that this did a good job of putting him in the spotlight and being on ESPN, and I'm sure he's going to get written about as one of the standouts at the Combine, and just feel really happy for him. And it's great for Illinois when he's on the interview and you see the Block Eye logo flash across the screen with his stat line. That's great exposure for Illinois.
Very cool. Now, you guys watch NBA basketball more than I do, and I know you don't watch a ton, but my question would be this. One of the things that we always went into every game saying is the advantage Illinois is going to have on the offensive end with Coleman, because a bigger guy is going to be guarding him and will now have to try to come out and guard him on the perimeter. And I'll be honest with you, and you guys, I love Luke Goody. You know I love Luke. There was not one guy I was more confident in when they shot a three than Coleman Hawkins this year. That is the truth. As soon as he took a shot, I had more confidence in that guy than anybody on this team knowing it was going to drop. So my question to you would be, obviously in the NBA, this is a big reason why Kofi did not get a spell there. You have to be able to be athletic enough to guard the perimeter, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Are they truly that skilled defensively, or do you think Coleman could find a niche in that league where he is able to have a shot like that, where he even has a foot to get it off, because he gets the shot off quick? I don't think that'll be a problem. He doesn't have a low, you know, release point or anything. Right. I feel like he gets it off and gets it off well. Do you think it could still be a problem, or do you think he is skilled enough and the other big men aren't, as in terms of being able to absolutely shut him down?
No, I think that it'll be interesting to see if he might play more four at the NBA than he would play five.
Probably not going to have a five guarding, right?
I would imagine. Now, there are instances where obviously teams play small ball, and if the other team's going to play a non-traditional center, they can do the same thing with Coleman as well. And there are, again, as I usually come back to, if whatever team he's playing for, and he's probably, another thing to think about, he's probably not going to be in the first rotation playing with the starters.
Exactly.
He's not probably going to be matched up one-on-one with, like, Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic. And even for the Defensive Player of the Year and Gobert last night, he was getting eaten like supper by Jokic last night. So that happens to a lot of people. But I think that you've even seen it with Io, who's obviously a perimeter player, where when you're out there as kind of a bench guy, you're not going to be probably the number one, number two, even maybe number three option offensively. And maybe you're subbed in with some of the stars, the starting guys, where so much attention gets taken off of you, and they might leave you wide open in a corner to help on a drive for an athletic player. Let's say he maybe, just for a hypothetical, let's say he goes to Minnesota and he's on the court with Anthony Edwards, and he's obviously, you could use a lot of different scenarios here, but you want to load up on that lane, and they're going to leave some guy who's off the bench who, even if you respect him decently as a shooter, you're going to give up that shot because you've got to try to help on some of the other stars and downhill attackers. So I think Coleman's ability to make those shots will obviously be a very big asset for him to play him in some pick and pops. If you want to use him in some ball screen actions, I think that's great as well. And just to be someone that you throw it to him, you know, within the flow of an offense or trying to get into an action, he can see the floor. He can see cutters. He can anticipate on where to hit the ball next. And the ball, I think Coleman did a good job of, at times the ball would stick with Coleman. Some of that was probably the off-ball movement that wasn't there too, but he's shown through his career that he can make the right decisions with the ball in his hands, especially when he's not trying to do too much.
Yeah, 100%. Kyle, you watch probably the most NBA of any of us, or I think. I don't know.
Not recently.
Not recently.
I've watched these playoffs, but.
Do you think Coleman could find a niche?
I've always said I think his skill set fits a modern NBA big perfectly. I think where he would get into trouble is what position is he in the league, because he's just undersized to ever really play the five in the NBA, and a lot of fours now in the league are more really wings.
Right. So, he's not the strongest dude in the world.
No. I don't know if he – it's just a matter of can he find a position, can he play the four effectively. But, I mean, a guy that can pass as well as he can move as well as he can. I know he measured in, what, 6'8 something without shoes, but 6'9", 6'10 with shoes. I think he will play NBA basketball in some capacity.
I think that'd be awesome.
His skill set is exactly what teams are looking for now.
Wouldn't it be great to have Coleman, Shannon,
Io,
and Io all in the NBA at the same time?
It would.
Be incredible.
It would be a big deal, and maybe a couple years down the road from now, we're talking about Merez getting a chance or Jeremiah Fears getting a chance, and it'd be nice to load that thing up with a number of not only Illinois grads or Illinois products that – but also, you know, Brad Underwood can say, I coach those guys and use those in recruiting. And,
amen.
That's a big deal. I think selfishly, while I think a lot of Illini fans right now are at peace with the idea of Coleman coming back to school and suiting up another uniform, knowing we've been over this topic a number of different times. But I do think it would change maybe a little bit if he goes now and he has that Illinois as the freshest connection to him.
Yes.
Because maybe he plays it, like if he played at North Carolina next year and he goes to the draft, they're going to say Coleman Hawkins from North Carolina.
You're right. Oh, that's disgusting.
You know that? I mean, it's not like a Hall of Fame where you're going to pick.
Oh, that's disgusting. They're going to say where you played
last. So that's one thing that I thought of. But on the note of the portal, one kind of dynamic from, and I kind of wrote about this going into the combine, that we'll see how much this moves the needle for the NBA, which, look, they're two scrimmages. The body of work's going to matter no matter what. It will carry the most weight. But don't think for a second, I'm not going to go against this. I feel like if you're a team that needs still a front court piece, I think he earned himself probably some even more leverage or another chip in the NIL hunt if he wants to go back to school by, hey, look what I did in the NBA draft combine. I was playing with guys like Cam Spencer, who was one of the best dudes in college last year, and put on those just to be on that stage and play like that probably even just freshened up the minds and the fan bases, the hunger for, like, let's go get that guy.
Right. That's interesting. Can I ask you this? Is he not coming back to Illinois because he just wants a change, or does Illinois not have the money to compete against maybe another school that can throw big money at Coleman Hawkins? It's kind of not a fair question to you, because technically, I know you don't know exactly the answers to that, but I feel like it's more of just a fresh start kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
It just kind of describes Coleman.
I think it's layered in that it's not maybe one reason in particular. Like, I do believe what, and if you haven't read, there's an article on Atlanta Inquirer. Coleman talked yesterday to the media, and he explained some of his intentions. He says he's like kind of 90-10 right now on staying in the draft versus coming back to college. He did hit on asking if what's he think right now of any potential of going back to Illinois, and he kind of says it's not really fair to Illinois. They've already moved on with their roster and those type. I've done 4 years at Illinois. I'm now an Illinois grad. I put my heart and soul into Illinois the last 4 years. So, I mean, it'd be cool to go back there, but I just don't think it would be the right thing to do, is what he says.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I think that there is the fresh start angle. And to me, I feel like that's the biggest thing. I think if Illinois was fully committed to making the run with money, they could drum up enough. Now, if he's going to go for $2 million, then maybe they would get priced out. Not to say, though, I do think you could go to donors with a recognizable guy that pulls the heartstrings, because people love Coleman Hawkins, and get up to there if you needed to. But I always went back to, I feel like Coleman loved and appreciates his time at Illinois.
Yeah.
But that he's fine with it being done. I think Illinois loved having Coleman Hawkins and all that he brought in terms of versatility and everything, but they're fine with it being done.
Yeah.
And both sides have made moves to go in different directions, and that's I just don't think it's going to come back to it.
I've enjoyed my time in Illinois, and now I want to go next to a beach. So
yeah, fair enough.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you in the portal now or?
Not quite.
Okay, not quite.
Not
but
quite.
But we kind of just know. We can read the tea leaves. You know, right. We know when it happens. Like, yeah.
I would be the oldest person in the portal.
USF. He's going to
Tampa. Yeah, right. That's exactly right. Do we want to hear Coleman's thoughts?
Yeah, let's today? Do. Let's do.
This is one from ESPN, courtesy ESPN.
Game, Coleman Hawkins, the senior out of Illinois. He had 20-point games last season, 17 points here in this matchup today. Coleman, as it comes to this scrimmage, how are you feeling out there? How did it feel for you?
I feel good. I think yesterday it was good to kind of just get a feel. It's kind of tough when it's like 5-minute spurts, come in and out, things like that. But today, you know, I started. I felt great. Had good energy from coach. Yes, sir.
Yes, that's
yep.
Right, that's right.
Four-time champ right there. But, it was just good energy today. It felt really good to get out there today. I was excited to play, and I knew what I needed to improve on to look good and impress some scouts. And I went out there and did it. So, yeah.
Coleman, we saw you playing with the basketball in your hands a little more today, being a facilitator. Is that something that you feel that you bring at the next level?
Yeah, for sure. I think whatever place I'm at, you know, depending on wherever they need me to be valuable, I feel like I can either facilitate, be a catch and shoot guy, wherever they need me, a defender. I talked to our coaches before the game, and they saw little flashes of what I could do with the ball in my hands, with my passing and everything. And I love to pass. I'm a willing passer. That's my favorite thing to do. People tell me that I need to score more, but I really like passing, so I just felt comfortable out there today.
As you now wrap up your draft combine, what are you most pleased about what you accomplished over the days that you've been here in Chicago?
I think just going out and having, you know, more of a fun, you know, competitive spirit. I think, you know, last year I got caught up in just like worrying about how I was going to play. And today I just came out and played, you know, regardless of what the outcome was. I wasn't focused on other things. I wasn't focused on who was in the crowd. I just went out and played my game too. So hats off to my coaches as well for putting me in those situations to be the player I am. I just felt more comfortable out here today for sure.
Awesome, Coleman. Thank you so much for joining us. Congrats on the win and congrats on an awesome combine, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Cool to hear there from Coleman Hawkins.
Coleman's got kind of a cool voice, too. I think he could be an analyst. He'd be fun. I'm telling you, honestly,
he'd have some fun.
Let me tell you this, and we got to get to your thoughts on Brunson and such. Tell me that CBS, during the NCAA tournament coverage, could not use a guy like Coleman Hawkins, who would be dogging different teams, having fun. He would be able to break down certain things. I think he would be absolutely perfect instead of like Kenny Smith, who has seen 3 college basketball games in the last 20 years.
Of course. No, I'm 100% with you. He's got a little bit of like Draymond to him,
yeah.
I think, where he likes being a troll. Obviously, he's not a dirty player like Draymond is.
No.
And Draymond is widely hated, so I'm not trying to put that in that category, although I think probably other Big Ten schools share in the fact that Coleman says he hates them and they don't they are not fond of Coleman Hawkins either. But yeah, he would tell you exactly what he thinks, be afraid to clown on some people, make some jokes, and he'd have
awesome.
A lot of fun. I think people watching would as well.
I think it'd be awesome.
Coleman, we hope, will be playing in the NBA going forward. A guy that's in the NBA and lighting it up, Jalen Brunson, who is, of course, priority recruit for John Gross and Company in Illinois. We don't have a ton of time for this.
I think you guys should save this for tomorrow.
You think so?
4 minutes is not going to do
this
justice.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, that's a good.
You're
point.
Right.
Because I've got some.
I've got some thoughts too. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
We can't fit it in 4
Jalen
minutes.
Brunson, though. Did you think his game would translate like this to the NBA?
I never thought he'd be like a max contract type
right.
of $100 million guy. And he's a full-fledged star.
Big time. I mean,
it's not only you paid big money for him, but then he's going and putting your team on the cusp of the Eastern Conference Finals as the face of your team. And they're without Julius Randle. They're really banged up. And they obviously got past your Sixers. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Yeah, I knew he'd be a very, very good college player and, of course, won a lot of games. But then going to the NBA, I always felt like he would stick, that he'd have a good career. That he, if you told me he'd be a starting point guard for somebody, I'd believe you. But to be a star of a team, I never thought that he would be that, even though I remember having a conversation one time with, and I was way younger and way less seasoned at this in terms of covering recruiting and that, but like Jerry Meyer for 24/7 Sports, national guy, we were having a conversation about Brunson, who I loved at the time,
right?
Still do. And I'm like, I feel like he's got some Darren Williams to him, a bigger guard and those type of things. And he kind of laughed at me. He's like, oh, you young buck, you're overhyping this guy. He's like, I feel like he's Derek Fisher. And I always felt like he would be more of a prominent player. We were kind of like in the context of college at that point. I think I was right, because I think he's done a lot more than Derek Fisher ever did. Not that Derek Fisher wasn't a good player in his own day, but Jalen's, yeah, again, he's a star.
And Q, Alicia Keys, he's a star in New York.
Yeah, right.
That's not easy, right? I mean, that is, to be able to do that and answer that in Madison Square Garden, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I just, it's like, how does somebody his height be able to do what he's doing? And I know that we've seen example after example of that, but that's got to be so hard going against. How tall is he?
He's probably, what, 6'2"?
Yeah, 6'2". And your average guy now is like 6'8".
Right.
And to be able to do what he does and score that many and just control games, but that's exactly what he did in college.
Of course.
He controlled a game perfectly. He's strong. I mean, that helps.
That is a big deal, yep.
And he's obviously a magician with the ball. Yep. Right, and he can shoot it. So it's just, wow. I just never thought. I thought he would be one of the better college basketball players ever that had a decent NBA career. But for him to even go, excuse me, up in expectations or whatever, performance, is just, it's wow.
Three seasons in college, he was the college player of the year in 2018. He won two national titles in those 3 years. Second round pick, 33rd overall to the Mavericks.
So nobody else thought that he'd be this good.
No, definitely
not close.
Nope. And then now he is a face of a team in the NBA playoffs, having a chance. They have a 3-2 lead on the Pacers for the chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
Yeah.
In New York.
I will say Rick Brunson owes him a lot for his comeback story, because remember Rick Brunson with the whole massage thing and putting his name down as Patrick Ewing? And now Rick Brunson's an assistant coach for the New York Knicks. I don't think for nothing.
There you go. Dreams can come true.
Some stories do have happy endings. All right, have a good one, man. Damn. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Against Unity, especially to Andrew. And
going to be tough. Those Rockets are tough, man.
Get after them.
They're tough. But, yeah, let's go have some fun with it. See what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you, boys.
Wish you the best. And Kyle and I will take over the ship from here. Stick with us. We'll talk more Illini hoops and anything else that you want to weigh in on. Maybe we'll fill you in. Kyle and I talked about going around the Big Ten, seeing what teams have done this offseason and what you need to know. We'll be back with this or that. This is The Drive.